Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
People don't take trips. Trips take people. John Steinbeck. Welcome to Grimley. Brandon from Terrorific, he was listening to that episode today and he left a comment on their Spotify. He was like, damn, unmatching someone after listening to their podcast is fucking crazy. It's so harsh. It really
is. I know, but I warned you about that.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I know. But that's fine. That's fine. You can not give a shit and then you should keep sharing it. But if you decide that you do, maybe wait or give a disclaimer. The disclaimer is, I guess apparently we're really loud and annoying.
Oh yeah, we also got a really, I'm doing great in the podcast world this week. We're doing so good. Yeah, we got a pretty scathing review on Apple Podcasts.
Scathing? What was the review?
They called us loud and annoying for the laughing and the joking.
What was this, the dots or stars or whatever?
It was one star.
Oh, of course.
They gave us a one star review.
Okay, the lowest you can.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which, anyways, okay.
Yeah, you might as well.
Yeah.
What are you giving me a 2 or 3 for?
Yeah.
Don't do it. It's a ones or fives.
Yeah.
Ones or fives.
Ones or fives.
Yeah, make up your mind. No, they called us loud and annoying because of the joking and the laughing.
Well,
I would agree.
1,000%.
You're like, yeah, we know that's the point, bro.
1,000%.
That's the point. But then they pointed out something that I have been trying to fix, which is I have a tendency to lip smack.
Oh, I never noticed it.
Okay. So I bought these cute little covers.
This person is on the spectrum. I've decided.
I don't think so. Well, it bugs me too when I'm editing, but I can't. There's no way to delete it without deleting the word I'm saying, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Because I would have to cut off part of the word I'm saying, and then it just sounds weird, like I'm saying half of a word.
Okay, so you have made an engineering decision.
Yes. I'm now a sound engineer. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
I've been fired. Coleman just licked me on the leg. Just one little lick.
He's like, it's okay, girl. I've been fired too. But that bugged me because it's something that I have noticed and really want to fix. And I've been trying to figure out how to fix it in the post edit. And I haven't been able to fix it. And so I bought us these fun little
sleeves.
They're like a mic koozie.
Uh-huh.
And they come in fun colors. I asked you what your favorite color was, and your response was, why do adults have favorite colors? That's insane.
What's the application? What is the color doing? I don't know.
But then they didn't send you the color I ordered, so.
I bet it was a bad green. Looking at this.
Yeah, it was like an apple green.
No.
Like a brat green.
Don't like that. This is fine.
Yeah.
Blue is always a good
color.
Listen, to be fair, all of the colors are good colors.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if you were going to have a preference.
I would not give a shit.
Okay.
You should know that.
I should. You're right. But I had a preference.
Purple.
Purple was my preference. Yeah. Purple was my preference.
Very pretty.
Yeah. I'm a gem tone girly.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. That's why I like green. I like an emerald.
Uh-huh. Like my laptop color.
Yes.
That's a good green.
Yes.
Yeah.
Green was the color.
So you do have opinions about colors.
I guess so. But that's why I was like, some shade of green is usually my favorite.
Yeah.
But again, depends on what the color is doing. If the color is like a blush, then obviously
not green.
If it's an outfit I'm wearing, it really depends on the time of year.
Totally.
You know?
It makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. So sorry to backtrack.
Yeah.
Can you read the review to me?
I will read it to you.
Yeah. Because I would like to address them directly.
Okay. Hold on. Let me find. Oh, by the way, welcome to Grimley.
Oh, yeah. Hi. I'm Meg.
And I'm Missy. This is probably why we get bad reviews. But we are two unserious people that talk about seriously creepy shit.
True.
Yeah, let me add them. We are loud and annoying sometimes. The title of the review is annoying.
Sorry. I love it already. Okay.
So I feel like it kind of feels like a read, but I'm kind of laughing. Okay. Anyways, says, Lord, they are annoying with their constant laughing and joking.
Yes. Fair. Wait, and back up. Who is saying all this?
It's Jati2090.
Oh, it's a bot. It's a bot?
Is it a bot?
I have no idea.
Do bots leave reviews? That's insane.
I don't think so.
And why did the bot say that?
Let's assume it's a real person.
Okay. So, yeah. So, Lord, they are annoying with the constant laughing and joking.
Okay.
Sorry that you don't like fun.
No, fair. This is fair.
Okay.
I think it sort of grows on you.
Listen, you can't be on their side, Meg. Listen,
no, I probably will. But I do think that it grows on you.
Yeah.
Most certainly at first, I don't know, you sort of like, it, in the way Warren Jeffs will get into your brain saying the most nonsensical bullshit, we are similar.
Did you just compare us to one of the worst people?
I'm just saying you put anything alive in your ears enough, you're like, you know what, I sort of get it. I'm coming around. Okay, carry on.
Well, you were like, I want to read these people, and now you're like, actually, they're right, we are fucking...
That's why none of it bothers me at all.
It says, and why is one of them constantly smacking their lips for every sentence?
That bitch.
And I'm trying to fix it. Anyways, it says, just unbearable.
Oh, unbearable. Okay.
Yeah. See, like I said, pretty scathing.
What was the name again?
Jati, Jaiti,
2090. Thank you for your contributions to this podcast. We salute you. We really appreciate your
I bought a mic cover because of it.
So. Absolutely. And I'm sorry for being annoying.
I'm not. Go fuck yourself.
God bless him.
And that's kind of us in a nutshell. Yeah. You're like, I'm sorry. You're like, no, go fuck yourself.
It's not that serious.
It's not that serious. But it did bum me out.
I'm sorry. It should not bum you out. Please. But it, you know what, though? Easy for me to say. You do all the work. I'm so sorry.
Here's my thing.
Okay.
If you're listening to a small indie podcast who's just, you know, trying to get their name out there, trying to get some followers, and it's not your thing, just walk away.
Yeah.
Just keep
going. You'd be like, this fucking amateur hour.
Yeah. I don't want to. There's been plenty of podcasts that I've listened to, and I'm like, this is what I want. And then I just move along.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to leave them a 1-star review.
You know what, though?
Like, go yell at Crime Junkie or Last Podcast on the Left or something.
Sometimes it is hard to believe that real people are doing these things. I'm like, I don't take the time to write a review for things I like a lot. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
How much time?
How much do you hate us?
No, it couldn't even be that, because that seems like somebody... it wasn't even that... Listen, it was like, unbearable, but it was like kind of flippant. It didn't feel like they said something that really fucking pissed me off because it touched a nerve.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like kind of unserious.
And yeah.
I'm like, I guess that's how you roll.
Honestly.
You slow roll through life being a bummer. It's fine. Okay. Yeah.
I will leave a review, and I have left reviews and people say something that's really problematic or fucked up and be like, that's not fucking cool.
Right.
You know, because I do think people need to hear that.
Right. Okay.
You know.
Yeah. You know. But this was very nonspecific, except for the lip smacking, and I guess that was your crime.
That is my crime. It's my cross to bear.
For the record, I had not noticed it. And I'm very curious to know next time if you feel like these little koozies.
Not condoms. This is a koozie, not a condom, okay?
It's just so phallic. It's like up in my face.
Yeah, she's all under your grill.
Anyway, does it help? Does it make a difference? I'm dying to know.
It's one of the things I was like researching, how do you help that? And people suggested this. They also suggest eating a green apple.
What? Eating a green apple?
Yeah, eating green apples helps with saliva production or minimizes your saliva production.
Oh.
So if anyone needs that tip out there,
God.
There you go.
That's very interesting. Where did you learn that? Is this a Reddit thing?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
I was just looking up how to prevent lip smacking Reddit.
Amazing.
Yeah. So
I got it. But I love Reddit. And I love Jaiti. Is that who it was?
Jati. J-A-I-T-I.
I don't know. God bless you.
Yeah, we're going to continue to be loud and annoying, though, so...
It did sound like it was a man, though, don't you think?
It was given man.
It might not be. I don't know why. We do this.
I don't know. We're for the girlies, anyways.
We are. I just feel like a woman would be doing. You know what? Never mind.
Yeah, we're for the girls, gays, and theys. Let's be totally fair.
This is why you should not share it with all your age. That's exactly why. It's not for them. Why would a man be there?
Men listening, tell us, why are you here? Let us know in the comments.
Anyway. But anyways, what are we talking about today?
I always want to say happy Pride Month.
Oh, it is June. Happy Pride Month.
And
speaking of
them, the girls, gays, and theys. That's what made me think of it. And I remember to change our logo at the beginning of the month.
You did. I know. You are also on top of it. We also have a special announcement. It is Coleman's birthday. It is
Coleman's fourth birthday.
Ooh.
He's big four.
Four. Hi. He's a sweetheart.
He's really leaning into Meg right now. He's trying so hard to get over there. I did brush his teeth before I brought him over just for you. Because he likes to give a kiss.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Trying to help his sister out with the stinky dog breath. Yeah. Happy birthday, Coleman. Happy Pride Month. If you're a homophobe, you can go fuck yourself.
Yes.
You are loud and annoying.
That is true.
Yeah. Yes. You are the loud and annoying one.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Let's get started. What are we talking about today?
So, from Death Valley's brutal silence to Bodhi's cursed ruins, from Sierra Nevada cryptid stories to Lake Tahoe's darker history, this episode is a haunted road trip through the strange, eerie heart of California.
Okay, I'm with you. I was like, this is so familiar.
So, I went on a road trip. Kind of recently, like a month ago.
Yeah, very recently.
Yeah, and
a long road trip.
Yeah, like a 3-week road trip. And I had friends popping
in. That's positively European of you. Taking 3 weeks.
I mean, I had to work in the middle.
Oh, thanks for remote work.
thank you for remote work. I work remotely from Sedona.
Well, that's the American part of it.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I have friends popping in and out, and you popped in.
He did.
Towards the end. Uh-huh. And
the best for... I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm so
sorry. Just kidding, Jay and Marcia.
I know that because all the girls are going to listen. I don't mean that. I'm just teasing.
Yeah. Anyways, but there was a moment when we were in Tahoe with our friend of the pod, Katie.
Yes.
And Katie and I were talking about kind of the weird stuff we'd seen along the way. And we looked up a cryptid kind of in the Sierra Nevadas. And then we talked about this ghost I'm about to talk about.
That is cool. Yes.
And then it kind of became like, why don't we do a haunted road trip episode?
There you go.
So we're finally here.
It writes itself.
Yeah.
This is still relatively fresh for you.
It is. So I'm going to take a drink of water because it'll help with the lip smacking.
I'm sorry, I don't have any green apples. Just listen, an apple doesn't exist in my house unless I need to put it in a salad or a dessert. I'm not eating apples. All the other kinds of fruits.
Not apples, a honey crisp?
No, I think a honey crisp is nice, but I've never
an apple and cheddar.
No.
Like a
sharp... If I'm going to eat it with cheese, fine.
Okay.
But then I know I'm like, okay, I'm doing like a cheese and meat board tonight for dinner, and then I'll get an apple. Outside of that, there are no apples really in my home.
Meg is an apple hater.
I'm not a hater.
Which is sacrilegious coming from Washington State.
It's just not the fruit that I'm like, yes, please. You know what I mean? Like, I've got a mango up there and a bunch of kiwis. That's fruit, okay? An apple is basically a vegetable. It's like a tart. It's a mean, angry fruit.
That's a kind of.
Sorry. I didn't know I was going to go there, but I was like, weird that, how did we get here?
When you said mean, angry fruit, all I can think of is Perez Hilton.
Oh, no. That I find very funny. That is a deep cut of pop culture. That is frankly loud and annoying. Like this entire conversation.
We just full circled it.
That person was like, go fuck yourselves.
These stupid bitches will not shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I know. It's a podcast.
What do you want?
We're talking nonsense for no reason.
Right? This is what we do in our spare time. Shut the fuck up.
Wait, take me back to the apple though. I need to know why I'm even talking about an apple.
Because when I was doing research on how to help with the lip smacking.
Ah, yes. Okay.
People said the green apple helps.
And then I felt bad that I didn't have an apple. And then I was like, why would I?
Yeah, like fuck an apple.
Okay. Totally unrelated.
That was apple chat. Jesus Christ.
God, it just is like a tour of so ADHD.
Loud. So loud. So annoying.
Okay. Ah, I hate us.
All right. All right, so we're going to start in Death Valley National Park.
I have not been there.
Okay, so have you been?
I don't think so.
It's a strange place.
I don't think so because I feel like I would know, and I don't think so.
I just don't think I did.
I'm pretty sure I didn't.
Okay. So Death Valley National Park sits mostly in Eastern California with a small portion extending into Nevada. It is the hottest, driest, and lowest national park in the United States, and that combination gives off an otherworldly atmosphere. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's often used as a shooting location for hot and dry planets like Tatooine in Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Dune? I'm like, did they film any of the
Dune? Maybe. They probably...
Yeah. I don't know what it's like, so I'm just guessing.
Maybe it's all CGI at this point. I don't know. And it said, so Death Valley was founded on Halloween in 1994.
How spooky.
I know. It's kind of like the park for me, it feels like, in a lot of ways. Also, Joshua Tree is also founded on Halloween.
Who's doing, I guess it is not a national, it's a recognized holiday, but we don't, it's not like a government holiday.
No,
so
not a
government. You
gotta
go to work.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay, so then work can get done like this.
Yeah, so it covers more than 3 million acres, making it the largest national park in the lower 48 states.
Wow.
It's huge.
I had no idea.
So inside the park are salt flats, sand dunes, mountains, canyons, volcanic craters, abandoned mining sites, dry lake beds, and oases.
There are oases?
Oases? Is it oases?
I don't know.
Oasis?
Many.
Oasises?
No, that can't be right.
That's a lot of S's.
They're like, the thing about the oasis is there's usually just one.
There's just one, yeah. So there are oases in the national park.
I'm going to have to look this up.
I know.
We're gonna fact-check.
So the Badwater Basin, which is the lowest point in North America, is negative 282 feet below. I said negative and then I said below sea level, which is obviously negative.
Okay.
Which is weird. It's a weird spot.
To be below. Okay.
It was just like weird.
You tell that you're like below sea level.
No, but like you're like. It's just like this weird. Yeah, it's just, it feels weird.
Well,
it's
a weird place. I will ask you lots of questions about how these places feel.
Yeah.
Like in your body.
In my body. How does that feel? And it only receives about 1.5 inches of rain annually.
Whoa. That's never raining.
That's never raining.
That's basically never raining.
I know.
That could be like precipitation.
That could be fog.
I know.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
And when it does rain, like especially in Badwater Basin, it makes like this weird lake. Which I would love to go see because it looks really fucking cool. It's like all these weird salt formations and then like just like a layer of water.
Water over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've seen photos of this.
Yeah. So various indigenous groups have occupied the area for the last 10,000 years, including the Nevares Spring People, the Mesquite Flat People, and the Saratoga Spring People, and also the Paiutes. In December of 1849, two groups bound for California for the gold rush found themselves in Death Valley after taking a bad route. Giving Donner Party.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it was supposed to be a shortcut, which is also giving Donner Party. They were known as the Burnett Arcane Party, and they searched in the desert for the path for weeks, evidently.
How would you find a path?
I don't know.
When there's no...
There's like... It's just like sand.
Yeah,
I'm it's like sand and
no
hills,
rocks.
And, yeah,
there's no trees. There's Mm-mm. no. How, what do you mean a path?
There is no path.
That's crazy.
I think they're probably just trying to find a path out.
Oh my god, worse than being in like a forest.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
I would definitely rather be lost in the woods than in like a desert.
That's
100%. Maybe that's because I'm.
And but there are different types of desert. This is the most barren. Yeah, barren.
This is the besides the Sahara.
Jesus.
You know.
Okay. I'm worried about them.
So they eventually had to eat one of their oxens.
Oh, okay.
And they burned their wagons near Stovepipe Wells area.
Oh, so it must have been cold at night or horrible. Uh-huh.
And it is now known as the Burnt Wagon Camp.
Okay.
From that, folklorist says that one of the people from the group, when they were finally able to find a route out, one of the women in the group turned around and said, "Goodbye, Death Valley." And that's how they got the name, Death Valley.
Okay, Diva. I
know. Bye, Death Valley.
Wow.
That's how they got his name.
He's also impressed. He's like, know, that Coleman, is like Beyonce level shit right there.
I know. Coleman stopped and stared at me when I said that. So besides all these fun facts about Death Valley, it also has some strange folklore around it, obviously. It's a weird place. So Death Valley has had hundreds, if not thousands, of claimed UFO sightings.
What?
Mm-hmm. God damn it. So while there are no specific abduction cases I could find, there are so many stories of strange lights floating around above the dark night skies of the national park itself.
Oh.
And some people speculate, because it is kind of in that weird little corner pocket between California and Nevada, that maybe it's military activity.
There is a lot of military activity. Mm-hmm. Or San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over that area.
Yeah. When I was driving to Death Valley, I was driving from Nevada, from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And you could see the little military sites popping up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I definitely understand that.
I think it's more likely that it was.
Yeah, but can I explain all of it?
Tell me more.
Well, I mean, that's what I got for you.
Oh, you don't have any specifics?
No, I don't have any specific stories. Just a lot of lights. It's just a lot of people saying, I saw these weird lights in Death Valley.
Hmm.
These are strange.
What else happens there?
So there's also numerous ghost towns
within
the valley and abandoned mining operations, which leads us to a strange story that happened within the park. It's commonly referred to as the Death Valley Giants.
Okay.
This is something I never heard of until I started researching this.
Okay.
So in 1947, when a man named Howard E. Hill spoke before the city's transportation club in Los Angeles, he shared a sensational tale about a hidden world beneath the desert of Death Valley.
I was just whispering happy birthday to him.
Oh, okay. Just kind of looking at him, then looking at me. I'm like, what do you want? Okay, so do you want me to reread that, since you were not paying attention?
No, there was some stuff underneath the towns.
I'm going to reread this. Oh, my God. Okay. In 1947, when a man named Howard E. Hill of Los Angeles spoke.
Howard?
Howard. Oh, you're doomed.
We took a shot for Colin's birthday, and this is what happened. This is a good episode for that. It's a silly, goofy episode.
Do not tequila while podcasting, I guess. Jesus. Okay. So in 1947, when a man named Howard E. Hill of Los Angeles spoke before the city's transportation club.
Who the fuck is Howard?
I'm going to tell you.
Sorry.
He shared a sensational tale about a hidden world beneath the desert that was told to him by some colleagues.
Okay.
That he once knew.
Oh, he does. Okay. He heard it secondhand. All right. Okay.
I mean,
I'm listening.
His colleagues who experienced the thing firsthand.
Sure.
I will explain why they're no longer around.
Okay.
So, according to Hill, a retired Cincinnati physician, that was his colleague named Dr. F. Bruce Russell.
Mm.
Had discovered a massive tunnel system beneath Death Valley back in 1931.
Wow. Okay. Back in 1931. That was like before the war.
I know.
Okay.
Okay.
We can't even blame it on the Nazis. Not that they would be here, but you know what I mean?
In California?
Yeah. No, I just mean that we would be doing things.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So Russell had reportedly moved west for his health from New York and was looking into mining opportunities, just kind of like as a side hobby or the hustle, like maybe looking for some ore, some gold, like maybe just trying to occupy his time while he's on the mend. I think he maybe had some sort of tuberculosis or dry air, you know.
Okay.
The prescription for the time.
Okay.
Clean air,
and
dry
he thought,
air.
I'll just mine?
Yeah, so he began sinking a mine shaft for a claim. try to see if you can find anything down there to claim.
Okay,
it.
A claim and not an insurance claim.
No.
Like, he needs to find something and sell it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So as the story goes, the ground suddenly gave way beneath him. This is Dr. Russell. And it dropped him into a cave.
Okay.
So what he found was not just a hollow space under the desert, but a maze of tunnels that seemed to be stretched multiple directions beneath the valley floor itself.
Oh.
Which is creepy.
You know what? Now I'm in. And I actually can tie it all the way back to aliens if you want me to. Let's imagine.
Perhaps.
Millennia ago, maybe when things were different.
Yes.
That would have been an ocean floor.
Yeah.
And perhaps some kind of aquatic
god
beings.
That was Mel's hole. That was the seal. That's the magical seal fetus from Mel's hole.
We found it.
Yeah, that was the aquatic god.
It's actually not that far from there.
Go listen to episode 99. That's Mel's hole.
Anyway, I see it. I see it.
So Dr. Russell later explored the caves with a Dr. Daniel S. Bovey. Why these doctors are doing this shit and not being a doctor, I don't know. This is an era where you could just really decide just to be something else if you wanted to.
Yes,
you didn't have to go to school.
I don't think medicine was quite the same as it is now.
So yeah. Dr. Bovey was a colleague he had previously worked with as an amateur archaeological partner. Okay. They had done excavations in Mexico, actually. They moved deeper into the underground passageways, and they allegedly discovered something astonishing. The mummified remains of three gigantic men.
Okay. I've heard about stuff like this happening at the Grand Canyon, but I have not heard about this at Death Valley.
Sorry.
But it's all a similar part of the country.
I mean, I kind of opened an Easter egg.
Okay.
The Southwest of America and giants is a thing.
It is a thing.
It is a thing. So I'm glad you dipped into the Grand Canyon thing.
Yeah. Well, listen, if there's a conspiracy theory, I probably... And that was before it got all MAGA.
Yeah.
Before 2016, it was actually just our weird little nerd secret.
I know. It was just fun, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. They had to ruin it. Like, they ruined everything else.
Yeah. QAnon really made it all weird.
They really fucked it up for all of us. Okay. So the gigantic mummified men were said to be between 8 and 9 feet tall.
Just... I have not seen one that tall before.
So. I have not either. I think Yao Ming is...
I know, seven-ish, seven-something is, I think, as big as we get.
Yeah. Like Shaq and Yao Ming. Those are the two big guys I can think of.
Yeah, so 8 or 9. 9 is unfathomably tall to me.
Yeah. It's taller than this room.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
This might be a 9-foot ceiling, but you're right. I mean, but this is too tall for a human man to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me?
For me.
Although, well. Is it? I don't know. I would climb him like a tree, possibly.
As Meg would say.
He could get it. Yes. Imagine like a Jason Momoa type. Not one of those skinny string beans.
No, no, no. Long. I don't like Gumby motherfucker. We're so sorry.
We're so sorry.
Oh, God.
Again, this is why.
So loud.
We're not for the straight men.
So loud. So annoying.
It's not for you.
So, the bodies were described as being dressed in unusual clothing, including medium-length jackets and trousers.
No way.
Yeah.
They're wearing clothes?
Mm-hmm. Ruined. And the trousers.
The image is ruined.
It's going to ruin for you even more. The trousers are extended just below the knees.
Like,
capris? A man capri?
Okay. Mummies that were wearing trousers. This is a bullshit story. Now it's... These fucking doctors are not real doctors. This is two men lying. This is lore for no reason. I'm sorry.
It's two men and then the guy that's telling the story. Because remember, he's...
It's probably his entire lie. But you're right. There is a thing about the Southwest and the giants.
Mm-hmm. That could be it's a whole ass episode, honestly. Okay. And like now I'm like, well, shit, now I have to do that as an episode.
Love it.
So the fabric reportedly resembled a gray dyed sheepskin.
Okay.
Though Russell and Bovey, the two doctors, believe it came from an animal unknown in the modern world, is what they said.
Okay.
After the capri, she lost it.
Mummies
don't wear capris. Mummies wear bandages.
Yes.
I don't know.
Leather. Just leather. I guess. But I don't think they were making trousers.
Maybe in this until area. I don't know.
I guess my thing is maybe in the early 1900s we were doing trousers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the 1800s we were doing trousers.
Does anyone know the history of pants?
Right, the history. God, I wish I had a fashion degree and I could absolutely tell you.
The history of pants?
Yes.
You probably could.
But what I am saying is if they were mummified, mummies are ancient and they weren't wearing trousers. Okay?
I don't know.
They weren't wearing trousers.
You're really pissed about the trouser thing.
Yes.
So, the chamber also supposedly contained artifacts that looked like a strange blend of Egyptian indigenous designs.
Okay.
According to most accounts. Some people go crazier. They say, like, Atlantis, blah, blah, blah. Like,
uh-huh. Okay.
I'm just going to try to say...
similar.
I'm going to try to say reality and to say Egyptian indigenous.
Okay.
And there's also hieroglyphics carved into polished granite underneath ground in this, like,
oh, and those
cave system.
Do those caves still exist?
We'll get into the caves.
Okay.
Yeah. So the claims only grew a little more bizarre from there. In another tunnel in this system, Dr. Russell and Dr. Bovey supposedly entered what they called a ritual hall.
Okay. All right.
Inside, they claimed to find more artifacts, mysterious markings, and preserved remains of animals most believed to be described like a saber-toothed tiger and a woolly mammoth.
Listen, cool as hell. Which they found it. Coolest thing I've ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
I want to find a woolly mammoth in a cave.
Yes. All of this is crazy. I love it. I don't believe it, but I do love it.
But they all seem to be describing what, like dinosaur bones?
Sure.
Well, I don't know if they're saying, like, we found, like, a skeleton of a T-Rex, or we just saw, like, a big-ass rib. So I'm wondering...
It just seems like they're different times.
Different time periods is a big part of this story, but I'm just wondering what made you think it was a dinosaur bone. Because I don't know if I could look at a bone, like an ancient bone, and be like, that's a dinosaur bone. Because I'm not a paleontologist. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, these guys were doctors now. So
they know, ma'am.
They
know.
We're obviously the smartest guys on the planet and the most adventurous.
They are adventurous.
And the luckiest.
Okay. So, like you, Meg, Dr. Russell and Dr. Bovey tried to gain some interest on these findings to different archaeologists and paleontologists, but no one believed them. They also got lost in the trousers.
Yeah.
They're like, trousers, capris,
sir.
Sure.
But sorry, there were paleontologists back in the 30s when they...
Yeah.
That's fine. But in California, I guess maybe California.
Yeah.
Would have thought they would have all been...
That's 110 years ago. It's not that long ago.
Yeah, I don't know. What is time?
When is time? Unfortunately. So they tried to take these... They tried to talk about these findings with various archaeologists, paleontologists, but like they don't believe them. Which, to give them some credit... If you're going out there and you're like, hey, we found this shit. If I was an archaeologist and someone told me that, I'm like, I'm at least going to go look.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I'm going to go look.
It sounds like they probably did go look.
No.
They just didn't want to listen.
They're like, we don't care.
Oh. Okay. Which, well, that's not very
prudent. Where's your sense of whimsy, bro? You know?
Sure.
Like, just go in a cave and see if there's some weird shit in there.
That itself is a little bit of hubris, to be honest.
I know.
I don't like it. Okay.
So Dr. Russell claimed that he and Dr. Bovey had barely begun to explore this site. And then according to Dr. Russell, there were at least 32 tunnels within the system.
Okay.
And he believed the tunnel network stretched across roughly 180 square miles beneath Death Valley itself. And it went into parts of southern Nevada as well. But the professional world showed little to no interest. They just didn't want to hear it.
Okay.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Because not one of them was like, I'll go look.
I don't know. Maybe Egypt was doing its thing.
That's true. This is like kind of Tutankhamun era.
Yeah.
So maybe there was like, but like, you're in California. It's a shorter trip.
Really? Russia.
Yeah.
The Nordic, Alaskan, all over Central and South America. It's everywhere, really. Yeah. So why wouldn't it also be here?
Yeah. Why wouldn't there's something?
Those ancient.
Let's just go fucking look. Let's go look. Check it out. You know?
Yeah, Easter Island, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're doing all, I mean, different periods of time, but yeah.
So.
Not dinosaurs.
Yeah, so.
Why would dinosaur bones be in a cave, though? I guess it would have mean humans took them in there and stored them in there?
Maybe. But if it's a saber-toothed tiger and woolly mammoths, I think some sort of Homo sapien was around during the same time as they were around.
The dinosaur bones are the weird part.
The dinosaur bones are the weird part. But what I'm saying is, do they know it was a dinosaur bone? Or are they just assuming it's a dinosaur bone?
It could be
for
like
a reason, you know?
Okay.
Because they're not, as much as they are doctors, they're not a doctor of paleontology, you know?
Right.
I'm just wondering if they misidentified a bone and they told people it's a dinosaur bone and then everyone's like,
and they ruined it.
And they ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You said too much.
Yeah. You made it too crazy.
True.
And now no one believes you, bro.
It's reasonable.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's my point.
I hear you.
Basically, no one wants to listen. No one wants to go look, which seems lame.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go look and look. So then Dr. Russell claimed that he and Dr. Bovee had begun exploring the site themselves. So like, fuck it, we're going to do it, I guess. And then, yes, according to him, there were at least 32 tunnels, and he believed the tunnel system stretched across 180 miles between Death Valley and into parts of southern Nevada. I read this bullet already.
That's all right.
Yeah. But the professional world showed no interest. They're just like, you're liars, you're frauds. No one wanted to go out there and take a look, which is crazy.
Lazy.
Yeah.
Take a look.
Take a look.
Take one look.
Take a motherfucking peek.
Mm-hmm. Like, investigate.
Yeah, exactly. So still, Dr. Russell and a group of investors formed a corporation called the Amazing Explorations Incorporated. And there's some sources that say that this organization already existed. Okay. And he just kind of joined it.
Okay.
And there's some sources that say that he was part of the creation of it.
Okay.
So it's kind of a bit of a mixed bag.
All right.
But they're hoping to manage and profit from the discovery by doing tours.
That makes sense.
They're like, let's take it down these tunnels and we'll fucking show you off. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a bunch of caves in Kentucky that they do the same thing within the southern region.
Is that not a national park?
There's Mammoth Caves.
That's not in Kentucky?
I think that is in Kentucky.
I was like, I've been there, but I don't remember which state we were in.
Really? Oh,
there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there are other areas
caves?
Like... I don't know how...
aren't my favorite.
No. No,
it's a little uncomfortable.
No, I will walk into a cave, but if I had to crawl...
Oh, yeah.
No, hell never.
Sure.
No, thank
but
you.
But it's cold and it's really dark and it's like not very fun. I mean, it's cool.
It is cool.
But yeah.
But if someone was like, we're going to go...
somewhere we want to spend a whole day, for sure.
No, we're going to go explore some caves that have some ancient mummies in them. I'm going to go.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
But when Dr. Russell tried to lead others back to the entrance of this cave, the desert seemed to swallow the site in the story whole.
Oh.
So Dr. Russell blamed this on the shifting terrain and not enough identifiable landmarks.
Sure.
Because it's in the desert, right?
Yeah, but they wouldn't have, I don't know, left something.
Great question.
Drawn something, made a mark so they could find it again. Take a giant stick or your foot or water bottle to X marks the spot.
But like all those things could get covered by sand very easily.
I guess so, but maybe
you need to have something
tried.
Very big.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
Maybe they put some rocks out, but the rocks could cover very easily.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
well, also, likely that it was bullshit.
This is confirming that it's bullshit. Yeah. So, yeah, he blamed it all on all of that. And maybe that is true. It makes you think of Kenny Veach in the M cave.
Yeah.
Where basically that guy was on YouTube. Oh, yeah, that's I found this true. Weird fucking cave and no one believed him. And then he disappeared in the desert looking for the cave.
Mm. Okay.
That's well, like,
okay.
You know, yeah. I don't know. I think the desert is weirder than we think when it comes to directions.
Okay. I like that.
So Dr. Russell then begins going out to the desert over and over again to try to find this cave entrance. He's like searching for it.
Okay.
Until one day he disappears.
Well, okay.
So months later, after trying to find the cave again, Dr. Russell's car was found abandoned in the remote part of Death Valley with a bursted radiator.
Mm.
Vader is like, I can't handle this heat.
Yeah.
And his suitcase is also still inside the car.
Sure.
And any remains of Dr. F. Bruce Russell were never found.
Well, it's a large...
So he disappeared somewhere out there.
Okay.
So then also Dr. Bovee disappears from public record during this time as well.
Oh.
And so people are wondering if he was also trying to find the cave. And he also disappeared out there by the same way. So we don't know.
Careful. Out there in the desert.
Yeah.
Not well, to be played with.
When I was like looking up Death Valley stories, which we'll probably eventually cover at some point, there was a lot of people that talked about the Death Valley Germans. Have you heard that story?
No.
It's really sad. It's a family that basically tries to take an alternate route in Death Valley. They try to go off-road, essentially, in a minivan they rented.
Oh, okay. So this is a modern story?
Yeah, it's a modern story. And they die out there.
It's remarkably easy to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's dangerous out there.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. So it's not that unbelievable that both of them could have very easily
disappeared out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is all from the original storyteller that was telling the Los Angeles Transportation League, whatever, about this story. He said these were colleagues of his. This is what they told me. This is what happened. And then they eventually
disappeared.
They disappeared. Mm. And there's articles, saying this story. So we don't know what happened.
All right.
We don't know if they found a cave.
And I think that after all this time, if there was something there, someone would have found it.
I don't know if
I'm going. So maybe it was right that it was just a mirage.
A mirage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to leave Death Valley. I'm going to drive further north to the Sierra Nevada mountains, where we run into a peculiar creature who lives deep in the forests of the mountains themselves. She's part cryptid, part tragic tale, and she goes by only one name, like many iconic women.
Mm. Beyonce. Madonna.
Cher.
Beyonce.
Beyonce. And she is called Penelope.
Okay, I love the name Penelope.
I know, and the color Penny for short.
Yeah, so cute.
Yeah. So Penelope is a legendary creature described as a 7-foot-tall naked woman. There's a lot of giants in this area.
You know what? Okay.
7-foot-tall naked lady.
And no one would have a problem with that.
Exactly. She doesn't even know if we're wearing capris. And her name is
Penelope.
Yeah.
She's got it going on, I can tell. 7 feet tall? She's stunning. Are you kidding me?
So she has dirty blonde hair and has a distorted face.
Oh, no.
You're like, uh-oh.
Oh, she's sinister. Now it's giving us sinister. Dirty blonde hair.
I mean, Tyra Banks would just call her unique looking.
Unique looking.
She's very catalog. She's a catalog model.
Sure, because she's sticking in a messed up grill.
Yeah, like she's got a messed up face. It's perfect
for
high fashion.
We like that.
So she is notorious for preying on humans and disemboweling them.
Oh.
And eating their organs, and is believed to be hostile and capable of engaging in violent behavior towards individuals in remote locations. She will fuck you up.
She's like, this is what I have to do to be 7 feet tall and gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. I gotta eat some people.
Yeah.
Sorry about it.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry. This is a an artistic rendering of Penelope. I couldn't find any many good ones that were eye and shitty.
Oh.
The thing that pisses me off about this is her hair is not dirty blonde.
No. What, can I see one of the AI photos?
Yes. I didn't put them on here, but I will Google it for you really quickly.
That didn't do it for me. She was crouched. Let her stand in all her fucking...
naked glory?
7-foot glory.
It's also hard because you can't... I have to look Penelope the Cryptid.
Damn.
They're really giving her any fucking credit.
No.
But there's also like
she's scary, though.
She's a little scary.
She's got no arms.
In that one? Oh, she doesn't. That's an AI image.
I mean, that's an AI scary, image. To be
she
fair.
Definitely has arms in the tail, so that's just a shitty AI image.
Oh, AI hasn't heard the story.
I'm keep getting Greek goddesses, which is like what I would imagine, but. Yeah.
Okay. Like, well, I guess we'll just have to have our own individual image.
Mind's eye, right?
Yes.
So Penelope is primarily reported to inhabit the Sierra Nevada mountains, particularly are active around logging and mining operations, as well as near campgrounds.
Single girl.
Mm-hmm. Trying to find her a man. So reports of Penelope have been documented since the 1960s, with numerous encounters reported throughout the years. The creature is said to target isolated individuals such as miners, loggers, and campers, who are alone or in small groups. But there's also a specific story that there was a train that got stuck in the snow in the area, and evidently Penelope killed everyone on the train ate them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She's a hungry girl.
Listen,
if she's 7 feet tall, she's hungry.
Yes.
Very hungry.
A cryptid must. Terrorize.
Cryptid's gotta eat.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So according to the story, or the origin story, Penelope was involved in a car accident in the Sierra Nevadas and survived.
Oh.
And there's some accounts of the story that say that she was with like a husband or like a boyfriend. And when she awoke from the car wreck, the husband, the boyfriend's head was decapitated in her lap, which caused her to go crazy, which I don't know. So after she left the crash site in search for help, she became stranded due to a winter storm that was happening. And she was forced to take shelter for the night and then eventually just kind of became part of the woods. It was like surviving on like berries and whatever to survive.
Okay.
There's more. So one morning when she was like kind of surviving in the woods, she discovered a large metal drum. She crawled into for warmth, and it was later revealed that the drum contained a hazardous material that was being illegally dumped in the area. Which caused her to turn into Penelope.
So this is like...
like a superhero origin story?
Also, yeah, I guess what I'm like, the train made me think it was like 1910. She ate like an Amtrak of people?
I think so. That's what I'm saying. Okay. And like also she's the Hulk?
God damn it. Penelope deserves better.
She does. Yeah.
Sorry. Terrible lore.
So evidently the exposure to these toxic substances caused a horrific transformation, which caused her to grow and have the distorted face.
Okay. So she climbed. Okay. Yeah. And when you say drum, it's one of those that you melt people in, you know, those like,
yeah.
Okay. I thought it was like a pop, pop, pop.
Oh. Like there's a drum set? I was like,
how does she fit in there?
A drum set in the woods? Is that what you thought it meant?
That's where my brain went because you said drum, okay? And then I was like, wait, it's one of those big industrial barrels. I would have said barrel.
That's where I'm wrong.
I'm sorry.
I would have elaborated more if there was a fucking drum set in the woods.
This episode is insufferable.
Some might call it loud and annoying.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, so Penelope is poor, unfortunate soul.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So the exposure to these toxic substances caused a horrific transformation, changing her into a monstrous form. And from that point on, Penelope is said to have roamed the wilderness, becoming a terrifying figure for those who ventured too far into the mountains or who maybe... It's like a little bit of like indigenous folklore where it's also...
Well, it can't be.
I'm sorry. I mean, in the sense that there's like a lesson about like toxic waste is what I mean.
Okay, I like that. Okay, okay. She's been out here terrorizing people for a whole 12 and a half years.
This was in the 1960s.
The 60s?
Yeah.
The 60s what?
The 1960s!
I know, but what happened in the 60s?
She got in the car wreck.
The 60s.
Yes.
Okay.
My God.
I feel like that's what I've been trying to get to. I was like, is this like, was it an 89, like Pontiac or something? What was the accident?
What? I literally said the 1960s.
It's been a while since
I've had to pay attention.
Since I haven't paid good attention, okay, I've been doing really well.
God damn it. Okay, so what are you going to say?
Just that I've caught up.
Now you're here? Okay, so that was when Penelope was said to had become.
Okay.
Was in the 1960s.
She's 60-ish years old now as a cryptid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. So the strongest person account is in the Tioga Lake RV encounter. That's what we're going to call it. So in this account, the person labeled as LR said that he and his teenage son were camping in an RV near Tioga Lake in July of 2012. And around 2:30 a.m., LR heard a high-pitched scream that sounded more human than Coyote Lake. Later, around 2:40 a.m., the scream came from right outside the RV.
Okay.
Which is spooky.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear.
No. But have you heard a fox scream?
An owl?
No.
An owl's scream is pretty intense.
Oh, okay.
The scream came from right outside the RV. And then when he and his son looked through the windshield of the RV, they claimed to see a tall, thin, light-skinned humanoid figure walking away toward the lake.
Oh, that was spooky as hell.
It's described as a female looking nearly 7 feet tall with no clothes, a deformed face, long light colored hair, and long arms and legs.
Oh, long arms and legs.
Yeah.
I don't like them skinny like that.
No, I don't want some gummy motherfuckers, like mm-mm, I said. Mm-mm. Yeah.
But how did they see her face if she was walking away?
Maybe she looks back. That's what I'm imagining.
If she looked back, she snatched their fucking souls. That's all it took.
Up, yeah.
It's terrifying.
He said that his son yelled zombie and the two left the area immediately. Smart. Yeah. Get me the fuck. That's the nice thing about being in an RV. You're like, we're going.
Yeah, but I would think they'd have some things to put away, but...
I would leave it.
Yeah, I would. If I saw that, I would absolutely leave it.
You're like, I can buy a new stove and a new table and some fucking camp chairs.
Fuck all of that.
Fuck the awning I put out. Like, I'm driving away.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to run.
Turned around and looked at us.
I know. I'm going to try to run it over, actually.
No. Absolutely not. I'm running very far away.
So a few days later, LR claimed that he spoke with an old ranger near Mono Lake, which is close to Tioga, who said similar things have been reported before and that people called the creature Penelope.
Wow. Okay.
So she's got some fucking lore.
You know what? These fucking park rangers have a duty.
They're probably feeding into it.
They absolutely are.
Like, I'm gonna fuck with everybody.
This is my job. I need people to come back. Let's make it a kind of fun.
Yeah. As a park ranger, I would definitely feed into it too.
Yes.
Of course. Of course I would feed into it. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
As you should.
Thank you.
There's no whimsy left.
I know. Where's your fucking sense of whimsy, bro? Mm-hmm. That's what I say. So a second alleged account is connected to a witness identified as Steve M. And supposedly this took place after Labor Day weekend in 2014 in the Mono Lake area as well, which I drove past.
Okay.
We stopped at Mono Lake, but it was like rainy and cold. Mm. It's a cool lake, though. It's like a saltwater lake.
Okay.
In the Sierras. So
interesting. Is it all used to be underwater, I suppose?
Yeah, it has a weird brine shrimp in there.
Cute.
I know, yeah. So according to the retelling, Steve was with his wife and his stepson heading out to fish near Mono Lake when they saw something pale and thin crawling low across the road.
Oh.
I know.
That's creepy.
I know. He described the movement as deeply unnatural.
Okay.
Saying that the limbs looked wrong, almost as if the creature's knees were backwards.
Yeah.
Which is creepy as fuck.
Very.
So he compared the motion to a puppet or a marionette, with the torso staying low and straight while the limbs moved in a strange coordinated way.
Oh, I hate that. Spider almost.
Almost like a weird spider. Yeah. So the figure was described as hairless, pale, sinewy, and vaguely humanoid with broad shoulders, long claw-like fingernails. Hmm. She's got a manicure. And flat nose area. She also had small...
That's detailed.
I know, small ear holes and a face that didn't look like a normal animal is what they say.
We're like an absence of a face.
Yeah.
Oh, gross. Sinewy is sinewy. Not a look that anyone enjoys.
No.
I don't want my humans to look like that. Mm-mm. I don't want my food to look like that. Mm-hmm. I don't want my monsters to look like that.
No, we all need a little fat. We need a little fat in your bones.
It's important.
Be an avocado.
Jolly, you know? It adds like a little bit of jolly.
When you're a little chubby?
Just, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know? Safety. There's something familiar.
Yeah.
About a nice chubby cheek, you know?
It's kind of giving like youthful and baby.
Yeah, safer, less. Yeah, I don't know. Just more human.
Yeah, sinewy is, I don't know, uncanny valley, weird.
Yeah, we don't want to see. It's almost like we've seen too much of your body. If you're
Or it's like,
I'm making out too many
crisis. I don't want to know what's under your skin.
Exactly. Yeah. There needs to be a layer that protects me from all of your anatomy under there.
Yeah. I know there's a thing under there.
I don't need to see all of those muscles and bones and tendons. I don't like it.
I don't like
the fibers.
I think it makes you realize like how kind of delicate humans are in a way.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. There's like something weird
about it.
It's very off-putting
to my eyes.
Yeah. So Penelope's origin, sightings, and existence are still heavily debated, obviously. Mm. But our next location is very real, along with the curse that hundreds of people have claimed to experience firsthand from it.
Ooh.
And we'll take a break.
Okay.
First, a little T.O. Ding.
Maple syrup and being polite. I'm Valerie, host of Canadian Creepies, the podcast that digs up stories polite history would rather forget. Cold cases that never found justice, haunted places that refuse to stay quiet, and folklore with a dark side you've probably never heard. If true crime, paranormal mysteries, and unsettling Canadian history are your thing, you'll want to tune in. New episodes every week wherever you get your podcasts. Canadian Creepies, exploring and exposing the shadows of the true north.
Bodie is one of California's most famous ghost towns. Completely intact structures still stand from the gold rush days, with other structures being restored to a point of something called arrested decay, where they basically rebuild things with the materials and stuff
okay.
from the site, and they kind of just keep it now stable.
The drama, sir.
His toy fell on the ground.
He dropped it, and then he started crying like a little baby, like Mun must pick it up for him. Coleman. He's like, I can't get down there. There's cords. I'm all tangled up.
Oh, yeah, he feels. So after the 1849 gold rush, prospectors began pushing into the eastern Sierra Nevadas in search of the next big strike. So in 1859, W.S. Bodie, which is spelled...
1859. Mm-hmm. Damn, that's a long time ago.
I know, and Bodie is spelled at this point B-O-D-E-Y.
Okay.
So he discovered the gold in the area, but he died in a blizzard only months later, and he never saw the town that eventually bare his name.
Oh.
So they named a town after him after he founded the area.
Nice, I guess.
I know.
It's kind of funny. You imagine being like the descendants of this man?
Right.
And you're like, oh yeah, the town's named after us, but we are actually not robber baron billionaires in 2026. No,
unfortunately. So over time, Bodie spelled B-O-D-E-Y became spelled Bodie, B-O-D-I-E. The reasoning is never really known. I think maybe people were just dumb and didn't know how to spell in the back then.
Bullshit. Okay. All right.
This man died for you. And by the late 1870s, the town had exploded into one of the most notorious mining camps in the West. Bodie's true boom began after a mine collapse in 1875, which revealed a rich body of gold ore. The word spread fast, and soon thousands of people poured into the remote town. And at its height, Bodie had likely between 7,000 and 8,000 residents. For a ghost town, for a prospector, town at this point, obviously.
Bustling.
Yeah. Though some period accounts claim higher numbers at that time. Oh,
it must higher have been than crazy 8,000, once right? they found it there.
So between 1877 and 1881, the mining district included around 30 mines and 9 stamp mills. I don't know what a stamp mill is.
Not a goddamn clue.
I'm just thinking postal service. So the Standard Mine became the most successful operation, producing millions of gold over several decades.
Wow. Sorry, I just had like a flash in my head. Right, either hear it about it a lot or mm-hmm. read about it a lot on my algorithm. The amount of gold that's on the planet is a finite amount.
And yeah, every resource is finite.
Sure.
Yeah.
But that we have the, sorry, I, you know what, I'm asking about this because the next time I see it, and I see it come up a lot, I'm going to send it to you. Mm-hmm. It just puts into perspective, like, the amount that we cannot, okay, the amount that we cannot mine because it's spread mm-hmm. into such small, minute places. That,
it's not worth it.
In these places where it is, there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
That's not even the majority of the gold that's on the planet, if that makes sense. So that's why it's finite.
Yeah.
No, I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
That's probably just geography, but, or geology?
Geology, not geography. You were close.
I got it. I got there.
Yeah. So Bodie has a very successful mine operation. They produce millions in gold over several decades. And with that kind of wealth comes everything else. Merchants, families, schools, churches, saloons, brothels, opium dens, hotels, warehouses, and also a reputation for violence, lawlessness, and hard living.
course.
It's a classic Wild West town, right?
That's true. That's what it's named for.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a chill place to be.
No, right? So one of Bodie's most infamous stories is the murder of miner Thomas Treloar in 1881. So Treloar was shot and killed after leaving a dance at the Miners Union Hall, which I have a picture of.
Oh.
And he was murdered by a Joseph DeRoche, who was reportedly romantically involved with Treloar's wife.
Okay.
So classic, I want your wife, I'm going to kill you situation.
Oh, he killed the husband.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I hope she wanted him back. God, could you imagine? It's tragic.
I know.
Both ways, but if she loved her husband.
I know.
And he was just like, a lunatic.
Right?
Jesus.
He maybe made up a whole scenario.
Yeah, I don't know. Got the wrong idea. Didn't care. Like, consent didn't. I don't know.
Either way,
it's trash. Okay. Yeah. I don't like it at all.
So, Joseph DeRoche was accused of murdering.
It sounds like he did.
Thomas. And so he was arrested and put into the Bodie jail. But then a vigilante committee later dragged Joseph DeRoche from the jail and hanged him near the murder site.
Oh, okay.
So they killed him.
I like that.
And
we're not doing enough of that.
You're like, I like that. Yeah.
Listen.
I mean, we're definitely not putting the bad guys in jail right now.
Oh, we? Hail Luigi. Oh, we're here. We do.
Right, St. Luigi. So this kind of cements Bodie's reputation as a dangerous boomtown where justice could be swift, brutal, and outside of the law, perhaps, I will say.
Don't start none, won't be none.
Yeah, right?
You did get yourself into this.
Yeah. You killed a...
His friends obviously were like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Like, we're not going to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
You're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So, like many mining towns, Bodie's success did not last forever. So after the boom years, unsuccessful mines began closing and the population quickly declined. People were just like, fucking out of there.
Yep, they're on to the next, for sure.
So there was a fire in 1892 and in 1932 that destroyed large parts of the town. So there's two fires. And mining continued in some form until 1942.
That was almost 100 years. It was doing its thing.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. So in 1962, California State Parks purchased the town and preserved what was left. And then today, Bodie is maintained in arrested decay, like I explained.
That is so cool.
And I took so many pictures of this place.
That is incredibly cool. I'm jealous.
So this means that the buildings are stabilized and protected, but they're not rebuilt into the polished version of the past.
Yeah.
They're like kind of just
this is the best
upkept, right?
That is so cool.
So, however, another reason why Bodie is so well known is not just because of the preservation efforts, but the curse that surrounds it.
All right.
But first, I'm going to airdrop you some photos, Bodie photos. Because I have so many, and I'll probably put them on the Instagram.
Okay, I found them.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's so cool. I know you take such good photos, first of all. Ma'am, why don't you take photos of me?
I don't take photos of people. That's the problem.
Why?
I'm not good at it.
You don't have the same eye?
I don't have the same eye.
Can you get one, please?
Can you get one for me?
These are really good photos. First of all, these are... Whatever this building is...
Which
one?
It's
all so stunning. Actually, all of them, which is like why you're good at this.
The church?
The church is beautiful.
The church is cool.
The wallpaper in this
fucking saloon. That is why I took a picture.
The bedding. Even the creepy lamp hanging from the ceiling. Like, it's just so beautiful. And then the colors and the wallpaper of this one.
Right? But do you also see what's in the foreground of those photos?
Was a coffin?
Those are baby coffins.
Oh, they're baby coffins.
They're tiny coffins.
Is this a coffin, this one here, with the sort of dark one with two windows?
I think it is.
That's so strange.
I know. I don't know why you need to see someone's feet.
And there's a proper... Somebody needs to turn this in to a hipster bar. I'm sorry. This is unfair. I'm speechless. This is like a general store?
Yes. Is that so fucking cool?
This is the coolest place. It's almost so curated that it's... They've got to be curating it a little bit.
I don't know.
No, they have to be. Like, it's so curated. It's making. I'm speechless. I'm speechless.
I would highly recommend if you were anywhere this close to this place. This is the coolest
thing I've ever seen.
You have to fucking go. I have so many more photos.
I need to make an actual trip out of this. This is so cool.
You got off with me.
I know. I was busy. I was actually gone the week before.
I know. You were. I know. I'm giving you shit. I'm just saying I literally.
Oh, my God. So they are. I do think they're probably adding. Maybe it's stuff that they already found, but they're adding stuff they found. It's curated a bit. And then obviously. But I don't know. It's so cool. Obviously, that wallpaper was there.
Yes.
Damn.
And there was one. I didn't send it to you.
This is one that burned, maybe? Is this the.
I just think that's his age.
Just old?
Yeah. So there's this spot where people were like leaving money.
Oh, okay.
On the bed.
Damn.
I don't know why. Uh-huh. But yeah, just so many weird, cool little, there's so much of it left.
So cool.
It's so cool.
I need to go. That's one of the, okay.
Listen, I'll go back.
I'm like, that's one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
It was really cool. Highly recommend. If you are anywhere near this ghost town, you should definitely fucking go.
It's like if you could walk back onto the Titanic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like same time frame.
Yeah. But so we just looked at some pictures, but now let's get into the curse that surrounds this ghost town. So the Bodhi curse is the legend that anyone who takes an object from the Bodhi ghost town will be followed by bad luck.
I like that.
And they're followed by the bad luck until the item is returned.
Oh.
This is how I knew about this place, is because of this curse.
Oh, okay. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I have never heard of it.
I think I saw something on the History Channel and I was like, I love that. 12. That's honestly.
You did.
So it usually centers on a small stolen souvenir like a rock, a nail, glass, or a bottle, mm-hmm. a piece of metal. Or
something that you think is insignificant. Mm-hmm.
Any other artifact left behind from the old mining town. So some claim that the ghosts or spirits of Bodhi are said to protect the town and punish people who disturb or steal from it.
Okay.
So it is said that because Bodhi State Historic Park, is in arrested decay, like I keep describing, the buildings and the objects are meant to stay exactly where they are. So you don't touch anything.
Yeah,
you shouldn't. Like you said, it's very curated, right?
Yeah.
And they are not to be restored, picked up, or picked apart by any visitors. Mm. And when someone disrupts or disturbs the grounds, they are disturbing the order of the place.
Yeah.
Don't touch it.
No. Yeah. Again, don't start none.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't be none.
Yeah.
So while this curse cannot be proven obviously, people do believe that it has some truth because of letters that come into Bodhi itself. There's no clear public count of how many cursed letters come into Bodhi, but park staff had described them as arriving about once a week.
Okay, they get a written letter once mm-hmm, a week, okay. Mm-hmm.
And the envelope or whatever is often with returned rock, a nail.
Oh, there's a thing in it.
Mm-hmm, a piece of glass, a piece of metal, or some other stolen object.
Amazing.
So over time, the number became large enough that some of the letters were collected and displayed in the Bodhi Museum.
How funny.
Which I didn't fucking go into.
You didn't go?
No, because my friend Katie and I, we were like walking around. We walked around the entire thing. And I think we were just so tired.
Listen, you don't have to explain it to me. I 1,000% understand. I would have been the one that's like, do we have to go in there?
We kind of had the same. But yes. I'm like, God damn it. The letters are in there. No, so
sorry.
I have a couple quotes from some of the letters. So a letter in 2003 stated, Dear Bodhi, I'm sorry that I took this piece of metal from the town. I thought it was all a joke, but it wasn't at all. Things are happening. They are very hard to explain.
Ah. I love it.
Another letter in 2002 says, Fair warning to anyone that thinks this is just folklore. My life has never been in such turmoil. Please take my warning and do not remove even a speck of dust from this place.
Oh, you better dust your shoulders off.
I'm like, do pictures count? Because I took a lot of them. So another letter in 2004 claims, You can have these godforsaken rocks back. I've never had so much rotten luck in my life. Please forgive me for ever testing the curse of Bodhi. And the last one from 2017 says, This nail was taken from the town of Bodhi. Nothing should leave Bodhi. Also, who wants bad luck? Please put it back for me.
Please.
And this is a picture of that one.
Oh, it's like a stick?
It's a nail.
Oh, like a, okay. A nail. It's like a, listen, I don't see no nails that look like that. It's like an ancient.
It's a really old fucking nail.
Dude. Yeah.
It's like an 1800s nail. Steak. What do you want?
It's a steak. It's a straight up a steak from the heart.
So obviously this curse is very easy to avoid, and it's maybe just guilt. This is what a lot of people speculate who are, I don't know, curmudgeons.
Mm. Okay.
Once again, where's your whimsy?
I actually have another idea, but go on.
What's your idea?
My theory is that, like, it is
Occam's razor?
No, I actually think it's like a total hoax. I think it's like, we are going to take some of the pieces, mm-hmm. write these silly little notes, and we're going to build our own lore, yes, about the park.
For decades have been doing that?
Yes.
Ma'am, these people have real jobs.
Isn't this their real job?
They're protecting the parks. They're not out here.
I think, and you would want to. I don't know. You're like, I hate that idea.
I hate that idea too.
How dare you talk about the park rangers?
It's a fraud.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, why are you frauding the park rangers? They have it hard enough out here, Meg.
I think because I'm like, I understand why they would do it, you know? But I also am existing in 2026 where your fucking job can just be ripped out from under you because someone was like, who needs a park? Not the American people.
You know where we should put in this park?
A data center. Teddy Roosevelt, he didn't know what the fuck he was talking about.
Yeah, we should just put a data center in here. Call a fucking name. Let's go put the highway through here.
You know?
Yeah.
Sorry, I guess I'm jaded.
You are jaded.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, you call these people liars.
It's not their fault. I'm just like, I understand why you would need to do that. You know?
These are postmarked letters, dude.
Oh.
Just saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well. Again, I'm just coming. This is a 2026 lens.
Yeah, you know? If nothing else, I would say guilt. But.
Oh, like people returning
them? Like they feel bad. Like, I wish I had taken this. And then like just some shit happens. They're like, oh, because like the Bodhi curse. I mean, there are people who talked about like they got a car accident the same day that they took something. They got a massive head injury.
Okay.
Like, there's people who had some serious shit happen like to them.
Why not?
There was a woman, like, we had a blowout the same day we left, and then the next day my husband fell and hit his head on a rock.
So, but they must have already known about the lore, and they took it anyway. I know.
I'm just saying, I'm not taking shit from this place.
But when you got there, were there, like, did you know about the lore?
Yes.
But is it advertised there? I guess, how hard are the park rangers pushing it?
If you go into the museum.
You can see them.
You can see the letters.
But it wasn't
evidently,
really.
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't go to the museum, so I don't know how prevalent the letters are, but I knew about this place because of the curse.
Okay. All right.
So
I'm listening. But well, I hope it is cursed, by the way.
Yeah.
And I would understand it if it was totally fake because, but you're right. That only happened in the last, year?
Yeah.
All that bad.
Dude, it feels way longer than
it does. I was like, how many years have we not had park services?
I know. Yeah.
Okay. Carry on.
Obviously, this curse is very easy to avoid. Just don't take anything from Bodhi.
Yeah.
I didn't fucking do it.
Honestly,
you shouldn't. I'm not doing it.
The Petrified Forest is a big deal. People always want to steal shit. You are not allowed. Hawaii will search your bag.
Yeah, like, take a seashell. Just leave it.
Just, you really shouldn't take stuff from where it
belongs. Yeah, leave it where you found it.
Yeah. Observe. When you're traveling, especially.
Yeah. So our last stop on this road trip has a very dark and tragic reality.
Oh, okay.
This was a bummer that I was not expecting.
Oh, okay.
So not right. Great. That's our last
part. Thanks for the warning.
Yeah, that's our last stop.
Good to know. Okay.
So our last stop is in Lake Tahoe and Truckee. Two places we were together in.
Yeah. And we've already talked about Truckee on this podcast. That can't be what you're talking about.
No, we're not talking about Donner Party. I did go to the Donner Memorial State Park. Yes, I saw Donner Lake.
I ditched too. I wanted to go.
We were too hungover.
I can't remember.
We were too. I mean, we were all like, because the plan was before you guys, you and Katie went to go get to your flight.
Oh, I was a little bit hungover that day. That's why I was like, I'm not flying 4 hours later than I want to. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We were. We slept in. You're right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And was it not me that was like, we don't have to do this?
It was kind of a consensus. We were all like, we're fine. We don't have to. But I stopped at Donner Lake. But this is the part.
Of course you did, as per usual.
I know. This is not about the Donner Party.
Okay.
But so Truckee
is somehow worse than the Donner Party.
It's right up there.
Okay.
But so Truckee,
Originally, Donner Lake was called Truckee Lake, to give you an idea. So while we were in Tahoe, I was told some really dark shit that is sitting at the bottom of the lake in Tahoe. When we went to that bar, there's a lot of people that talked about, like, do you know what's happening in Lake Tahoe? Do you know what's at the bottom of the lake?
Oh.
I was told this multiple times. I was
okay.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I mean, people told me this story. So some people in the area claim that there have been bodies of Chinese immigrants who were killed during the railroad expansion over Donner Pass.
Okay.
That's what the people around us when we were at the bar in Tahoe were telling me. Multiple people told me this.
Oh.
I was like, what the fuck are we doing?
That night?
Yeah.
By the way, that night, the people that she speaks of was just like guy after guy after guy, like in a rotation to get her ear, to bend her ear. And it was...
They all told me true crime shit. So what does that say about me?
No, I just feel like you guys... You had a great night of conversation, which is like part of the fun reason about going out. So
it really is. Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to the men of Lake Tahoe. Yeah.
So the documented anti-Chinese violence happened in the Tahoe region, especially around Truckee and Donner Pass, rather than a confirmed Lake Tahoe massacre. So everyone was saying that it happened at Lake Tahoe, but it actually seems to happen in the Truckee area.
Okay. They're super close, like 15 minutes.
Yeah, they're,
right?
they're pretty close. Yeah. But it's
there. It seems like Truckee's the older,
yes,
place.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing that most people I think are referring to is something called the Trout Creek Outrage.
Okay,
it's the clearest documented killing in the later expulsion of Chinese residents from Truckee, and it shows how organized and sustained racism can become.
Oh, God. Okay, this is bad.
Like I said, this is a fucking bummer.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
All right. No, I'm like, okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you alluded to it before.
Yeah. So the Trout Creek Outrage, also known as the Truckee Outrage or Trout Creek Murder, happened near Truckee, California, just north of Lake Tahoe on June 17th through the 18th in 1876.
Okay.
So in the attack, white members of the Truckee Caucasian League...
Oh, that's the KKK.
That North.
Yeah, totally. This
Fuck.
Is
the, so they targeted six Chinese woodcutters living in cabins along Trout Creek. So according to historical accounts, the attackers set the cabins on fire and then shot at the men as they ran out.
Just these people minding their business with a job, being Chinese and... being at home after work.
Yeah.
The
audacity.
No, it's just absolute evil garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Losers. So, I could go on.
Yeah.
I could go on. Okay.
You want to keep going?
No, okay. I will add more. It's just so. Because my family's from the South and there are. Like, no doubt members of not my immediate family, but my, like, near extended family are, like, not this, well, you know what? Maybe this type of racist and raised by these types of racists.
Oh, same. I have people in my, yeah, like, uncles and stuff. They're the same way, fucking way. There's actually a point where I'm like,
okay.
It's feeling familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one Chinese man named Ah Ping was killed and another Ah Leng was badly wounded during this incident and seven men were arrested and charged. But the murder defendants were acquitted by an all-white jury after only about 9 minutes of deliberation.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Obvious fucking crime, but an all-white jury is like, we don't care, essentially.
So it doesn't matter. Can you imagine feeling that? Unsafe and like that helpless
in a country you're just trying to rebuild your life in.
Yeah.
And the arson charges were also dismissed. You could literally burn
and
down
like there's nothing. Oh, God, it's so cruel.
It really is.
These motherfuckers.
So the larger context to the story is that Truckee once had one of the largest Chinatowns on the West Coast with Chinese immigrants who would settle there during and after the Central Pacific Railroad push over Donner Pass. Because the railroads were essentially built by Chinese immigrants. It's something like that people don't really talk about, but like they were the ones doing it.
And then after the railroad was pushed, many of them became woodcutters, merchants, laundrymen, doctors, and laborers. But by 1870, Truckee's Chinatown had more than 400 residents.
Okay.
But anti-Chinese racism grew in the 1870s, especially when white workers blamed Chinese laborers for economic problems. Does that sound familiar, guys?
No, it really does. Like, it's like these people are here and like they're
doing
industrious
fucking,
and they're making a living. And what are you mad about?
Because they're working?
Yeah. Aren't you also busy working?
I don't fucking know. I really... It's just like the enemy is not... them.
No words. I know.
It's like the...
It's just like the country. Dumbest motherfuckers.
It really is.
Like, and like, we are a racist country, though. Mm-hmm. Like, deeply.
Mm-hmm. Same, yeah.
And we're over here on the West Coast, like, very, like, holier than now. And...
Yeah, but I mean, this is an example.
Like, yeah, we the also internment had our camps issues. Were on this side of the country too. Yeah. Like,
I mean, the Puyallup Fairgrounds.
What do you mean? What about the Puyallup Fairgrounds?
They were an internment camp. They were Camp Hope.
Have we talked about this? I feel like that sounds mildly familiar. Maybe we have not talked about this on the air.
We haven't talked about it in the pod.
I did not know that. I've only been on there once.
Yeah. It will eventually become an episode, probably.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. This is the 1870s. It's unfortunately too relevant.
Yeah.
To today's.
Yeah.
Because you're pointing the finger at the wrong fucking people.
Yeah. In this case, I don't know who you would be pointing your finger at. Maybe yourself. Work harder. Yeah. There's obviously a lot of work to be done.
Right.
These people figured out how to do it. What are you pissed about? Well, you lazy piece of shit.
Yeah. It's the internalized racism. And then like people.
Motherfuckers.
These people like bankrupt. They bank on their racism and they blame other people when it's really the fucking. People in the higher ups are not paying them enough. And they're like, well, like it's the Chinese people's fault.
Yeah, because maybe they found a different source of income.
Uh-huh, exactly. So after the Trout Creek killing, the violence and intimidation continued.
Yeah, naturally. Why wouldn't it continue? Because they were allowed to do it.
Mm-hmm. So Truckee's Chinatown was burned down more than once.
Okay, hold on. They need a garbage bell. The whole fucking town.
The whole fucking Chinatown.
Not the Chinese in Chinatown.
No, just the Chinatown itself.
Wait, just the white folks in Truckee. Wait, aren't they the ones doing the things?
Yeah, they burned down the Chinatown.
Yeah.
More than once.
They're the garbage.
Yeah. Sorry. I was confused about what you asked. So.
It's like, why are we calling Chinatown the garbage?
No, they're not the garbage bell. The white people in Truckee had the garbage bell.
These fucking racist pricks.
Yeah, these racist pieces of shit in Truckee in this time. Right? You know what? There's probably still some there. Let's be real.
1,000%!
We were there. We saw it.
It is beautiful.
It was beautiful. Truckee's Chinatown was burned down more than once in 1886. White residents of Truckee organized what became known as the Truckee Method. And it was a boycott meant to force Chinese residents and workers out of the town.
What does that mean? They just wouldn't work with them?
No, they wouldn't work with them. They wouldn't buy from their stores. They wouldn't use them as laundry services.
Again, it's just... Ugh. Men are so threatened by other men. I cannot handle it.
Yeah. But then the women follow.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The only break that the women get at this time, they had no rights. And it was just like... And I don't think that they were any less evil and vile and nasty and vicious.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. It wouldn't matter what they thought.
So by the end of that year in 1886, Truckee's Chinese community had been driven out.
They should have fought back. Okay, but that's fine. But the law was against them, apparently.
And the town reportedly celebrated their departure with a parade.
The
audacity.
Ew. Okay, so the West Coast doesn't get enough credit for being racist as hell.
Pieces of shit. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, it's... This is a racist country. I'm sorry. Yeah. We don't want to hear it.
We are.
It is.
Yeah. We need to do better. So as we wrap up this haunted road trip from Death Valley to Lake Tahoe, it feels fitting that we end somewhere between legend and history. We started at a place that already feels cursed by nature itself, with Death Valley's brutal heat, abandoned mines, underground city legends, and strange lights in the sky, along with stories of chasing treasure or mystery into the landscape that does not forgive mistakes. From there, the road carried us north through the Eastern Sierra Mountains, where the desert gives way to mountains, ghost towns,
and the kind of lonely roads where headlights only show you with a few feet of what might be ahead of you. And somewhere in that eerie stretch of California folklore, we meet Penelope, the pale, disordered cryptid said to haunt the Sierra Nevadas. Her story feels like a perfect bridge between the old mining town legends of the desert and modern campfire horror. She is not tied to one polis centuries-old legend the way some folklore is. Instead, Penelope feels like something born from isolation, mountain roads, toxic waste fears, strange screams in the dark, and the very human fear of seeing something in the wilderness that looks almost like us, but not quite. The road then brings us to Bodie, a ghost town preserved in arrested decay, where the past is not restored or cleaned up, but left exactly where time dropped it. Bodie gives us curses, returned artifacts, apology letters, and the eerie feeling that something in this town does not like being disturbed. It is a place where people take a nail, a bottle, a rock, or a shard of glass only to mail it back later with stories of car trouble, illness, loss, or just bad luck. Whether that is supernatural cause or a guilty conscience, the result is the same. Bodie follows people home. By the time the road trip ends, it reaches Tahoe. The story shifts. The folklore is still there, with rumors of bodies in the lake and old stories that get repeated because they sound creepy around a campfire. But this is one of those moments where the legend almost gets in the way of the truth. We do not need a ghost story about bodies at the bottom of Lake Tahoe to make this history disturbing. The real horror is already there. Chinese immigrants came to this region to work, build, survive, and create lives for themselves. And many were met with violence, racism, arson, exclusion, and organized efforts to drive them out. The haunted part of this story is not some body preserved in cold water. It is the fact that real people were terrorized, erased from communities they helped build, and then had suffering turned into rumor, myth, or background scenery. And maybe that's when the whole road trip really comes down to. The West is full of haunted places, but not all hauntings are ghosts. Sometimes a haunting is a town left to rot in the desert. Sometimes it's a mine shaft, a burned out Chinatown, a cursed letter mailed back with a stolen nail, a strange figure crawling around the mountain road, or a highway cutting through a landscape where people suffered and then disappeared. Sometimes the scariest thing buried in a place is not the spirit waiting to be seen, it is the history of people tried not to remember. So whether you believe in curses, UFOs, cryptids, ghost towns, or legends at the bottom of a lake, this route from Death Valley to Lake Tahoe reminds us that the past is never as far away as we want it to be. Sometimes it's right beside the road. And that is our spooky road trip. It's spooky.
It's beautiful. Thank you. Work.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was a long paragraph. I was like, I need to get through this.
Call it an essay? I would call it an essay. Thank you. So fun. I'm glad you memorialized your road trip.
I know. I feel like now I want to look up. I mean, I always try to like look up, obviously.
Now I need to charge it to the biz.
Talk just the pod biz.
Yeah, develop an LLC. What is it? LLC?
Right. Spooky road trips.
Yeah.
Shit, maybe we could.
Yeah, you could do anything you fucking want.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much.
So yeah, next time take a road trip. Try to find some spooky folklore.
I love that. You are so good at that. You did so good.
Thank you. But yeah, that's what we got for you guys this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a trajectory that is different from what we've done in the last couple weeks.
Yeah. No, I think it was like a nice, fun
Breath of fresh air. Thank you. Even though we are allowed.
And annoying. Should we just work that into our fucking
Maybe we should.
Welcome to Grimly, where we're loud and annoying.
Right.
And that's it.
And that's it. Do you like loud? Do you like annoying? We need an infomercial.
Amazing.
Do you hate the quiet and peacefulness? How about you try?
Grimly says it can.
And then this lists a bunch of really, really horrific side effects.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Coleman.
Happy birthday, Coleman. Anyways, pet your dogs, pet your cats.
I guess you subscribe, can like, write a review. Ones or fives only. Ones or fives only.
Listen, you're going to miss a one or you're going to miss a five. I want a fucking two, three, or four.
Four is fine.
four is five.
If it's constructive.
Yeah.
Ones, fours, and fives, okay? A two and a three, you don't hate us enough.
Yeah. We don't like us enough.
Of course.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, but I mean... Also, help some girls out. We're just out here having a good time.
You know, we're fine.
Yeah, we're fine. But, you know, I mean, Jesus, don't be so fucking mean to people who are just out here enjoying themselves.
Oh, it's so good. Oh,
yeah. Don't be a hater. If you're going to be a hater, just scroll away. You know?
Or write a one-star review.
I'm not forcing these headphones on your head that you're listening in. That's right
true.
Now, you
That's
know?
True.
Like,
That's
you
true.
Can it's just all right.
You know what?
Move along.
We need to move along.
We do. So thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you guys next week. You know, do all the things like Meg just said.
Already.
Yes. And until next time.
Stay grimly curious.
You shut the fuck up.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.
'Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.